Hello, this is Mark Peacock, and welcome to the Travel Commons Podcast. This is Travel Commons Podcast number 157, recorded Saturday, November 30th, 2019. This is the podcast giving the voice of the traveler. It's more about the journey than the destination. The topic on this edition of the Travel Commons Podcast, Notes from the Baltics, a trip to Riga, Latvia, and Tallinn, Estonia. Coming to you today on the end of the big U.S. Thanksgiving Day weekend. Coming to you today from the Travel Commons Studios in Chicago, just off the shores of what is a pretty rough Lake Michigan nowadays, toward the end of what has been a record-breaking cold November. The first half of the month here in Chicago was the coldest in 148 years, with an average temperature of 31 degrees, which compares to an average high for November of 50 and the average low of 39. But what's been worse has been the early snow. 3.5 inches of snow on Halloween, another record, and then again 3.5 inches on Veterans Day. But I have to tell you, by some incredible strokes of luck, as opposed to any foresight on my part, I managed to dodge both of those snows by flying home from Charlottesville, Virginia, the day before Halloween, and then scheduling the week off the road that week of November 11th, that week of Veterans Day. Like they say, it is always better to be lucky than good. Last week was my last week in Charlottesville, finishing up an 18-week project that started in July. A year ago, when I wrapped up my last long run in Charlottesville, and I didn't know if or when I'd be back, I took an afternoon, really kind of, I think the last afternoon I was there, to hit Monticello, Thomas Jefferson's home that is only sort of a 10 to 15-minute drive from the client. It was one of those things I always wanted to do, but just kept putting off. You know, I'll get to it. I'll get to it next time. And here it was, the last day. And so I ended up having to kind of squeeze it in between meetings and calls. But I was glad that I did it. With that in mind, I did just a touch more planning this year to fit in on my second-to-last trip, a bit of bleisure travel, that sort of awful travel industry word about combining business and leisure travel. Slotting in the week between those Halloween and Veterans Day snowstorms, I flew out a day early on a Monday, but I went into Washington Dulles Airport instead of Charlottesville Airport, and instead rented a car and drove the length of the 105-mile skyline drive down to Charlottesville, kind of along the tops of the Blue Ridge Mountains through Shenandoah National Park. I was probably a week late for sort of peak leaf peeping, but it was still very pretty, especially when looking west over the Shenandoah Valley. I don't think I would have made a special trip to drive Skyline Drive, but since I was in the neighborhood, why not? And it turned out really just to be a great drive. Clear blue skies, still some good leaf color, and on a Monday, not a lot of people on that two-lane road. And then last Thursday, flying out of Charlottesville for the last time until, well, I don't know when, I had to order one last beer at the Tailwind, the airport bar in Charlottesville Airport. You know, I'll tell you, for an airport with only 5 gates, the Tailwind always has a great rotation of local craft brews. And there's, I don't know, kind of a mini Cheers effect. Maybe not everybody knows my name, but Lynn the bartender does, recognizing me from my 4-year on and off presence in her bar. And when I showed up back in July after what had been a 9 months absence, she recognized me right away. So I had to get one last beer from her. I looked at the blackboard and ordered the stout from Blue Mountain Brewery, which was not far from where I ended my trip down Skyline Drive. I was getting over a bit of a cold, so you know the usual IPA would have been a bit rough on the back of the throat. That dark hollow stout went down a lot smoother, but what I didn't quite pick up on until after I ordered it was that it was a 10% alcohol beer. Bit of an eye-opener at 11:30 a.m. Made for a good nap on the flight home, though. So following up, Mark Skinner sent a note to comments at TravelCommons.com a few days ago. Hi, Mark, he said, longtime listener. So your tagline, "It's more about the journey than the destination," hit home to me with what has to be my oddest business trip yet. Tomorrow, I'm flying Washington to Hong Kong via Newark, arriving Monday afternoon and then returning on Tuesday morning. I'm basically there for dinner. No meetings in Hong Kong. It's all about taking a cosmic ray detector for NASA on an over-the-pole flight, which the United Flights 179 and 180 do quite well. Newark to Hong Kong to Newark. They want to understand the amount of radiation from space inside the aircraft cabin. I'll be in the air longer than on the ground. I'm planning to stay on and to sleep at normal East Coast times, which means while I'll have a hotel room by Hong Kong Airport, I'll be awake then, night in Hong Kong, but daytime hours for me. Happily, my upgrades to Polaris business class both ways have been confirmed. Otherwise, the 16-hour flight would seem even longer. Mark, oh my, that's a hell of an end of the year mileage run. I actually, when I was trading notes, when I replied back to Mark, I told him that his itinerary reminds me of the one I did 12 years ago when I flew to London for a lunch meeting to wrap up a project. I flew O'Hare to Heathrow, showered in the arrivals lounge, took a car out to Reading, gave the final readout over lunch, hopped back in the car to Heathrow, and then caught the afternoon flight to Denver. I always say that that O'Hare to Heathrow to Denver run was just the epitome of what I would call stupid travel. But Mark actually has a good reason for his out and back. And I don't know, given the amount of time I have spent at 35,000 feet over the past 35 years, I'm not sure I really want to know the results of Mark's measurements. United Airlines sent a link promoting a jet lag app, TimeShifter, though Mark won't need one because he's staying on Eastern time during his quick jaunt to Hong Kong. I decided to give it a go for my trip to Latvia, Estonia, and Finland. Going east from the U.S. to Europe has always actually been easier for me. My usual routine, I skip the seat back entertainment for, say, 4 to 6 hours of shut-eye. I wouldn't necessarily call it true sleep. Eat breakfast when I arrive, even if I'm not hungry, get outside as much as possible, take a 30-minute nap after I check into the hotel, say like around 4:30 or 5, push through until 11:30 p.m. that night, and then set an alarm for, say, I don't know, 7 o'clock the next morning. That usually resets my body clock, and I'm pretty much good to go for the rest of the trip. TimeShifter actually added two things to my routine, starting to shift to destination time a few days before leaving, say moving bedtime and wake-up time an hour earlier each day, so going to bed at, say, 10 p.m. instead of 11, and then getting up at 5 instead of 6 the next morning. That was one thing. The second thing was taking melatonin before going to bed, which I tried, but I'm not sure it really does anything for me. I would say it's a well-designed app. It does a nice job of notifying you about things like when to seek out direct sunlight, when to start and stop with caffeinated drinks. The first plan is free, and I use that, but I don't know. It's nice, but I'm not sure that I'd pay $10 for the next plan, though. And speaking of caffeinated drinks, last week, staying at the Omni Hotel in Charlottesville, they gave me two door hangers, one for each night that I could exchange for a drink delivered to my hotel room door in the morning or a beer in the bar that evening. Well, the first night, since I'd already had a margarita at dinner, I skipped the bar for something in the morning. Looking at the door hanger, my choices were coffee, tea, and Red Bull. I mean, wow. I mean, they're catering, I guess, to all kinds of morning afters. It wasn't that big of a margarita, so I just went for the cup of tea. Following up on last episode's discussion around carry-ons about buying a new bag to meet Finnair and AirBaltic's size and weight limits, my new Travel Pro Max Light bag, it worked just like a charm. I packed a week's worth of clothes in it, and I mean, it was small enough I didn't get tagged by gate agents. It even fit in the overhead of the ATR prop jobs that hopscotched us between Riga, Tallinn, and Helsinki. On one of the passes through Helsinki, though, I saw an Air Baltic luggage sizer and scale. It was by a empty customer service desk, so I decided to check the bag out. It took a little bit of a force fit to get into the sizer, and it weighed in at 3.5 kilos, just kind of over the limit. So I was glad I didn't catch a gate agent's eye. And actually, since we've been talking about carry-on luggage over the past couple of episodes, I pulled together kind of all those threads into a new How to Choose a New Carry-On blog post. It went up at the beginning of the month, updating the one from last February. So just in time for the Christmas shopping season, if you or a frequent traveler loved one needs a new carry-on, check it out. It's complete with some new Amazon affiliate links if you feel like you want to toss a buck Travel Commons way. And actually, speaking of prop jobs, wow, I just keep kind of transitioning through these things. And speaking of prop jobs, I definitely misfired on my Finnair seat choices on the prop planes between Helsinki and Riga, up and back between Helsinki and Riga. I was more focused on choosing seats for the long flights between Chicago and Helsinki. Quite honestly, didn't pay that much attention on a 45-minute flight to and from Riga. So I just picked a seat off the seat map where there would be nobody next to me, 5C both ways, which, as it turned out, was empty for a reason, because it was right next to the propeller. And I had forgotten how loud those propellers get on takeoff. I popped on my Bose noise-canceling headphones, which actually I noticed are starting to show a good bit of wear. So I might be doing a little bit of Black Friday, Cyber Monday shopping. But I popped those headphones on when we started to taxi. But when the pilot revved up the propellers for takeoff, the noise cancellation started to cut in and out. The headphones were having to generate kind of huge anti-waves sort of to cancel out the prop noise, and the battery was just too low to support the load. Luckily, I always carry extra AAA batteries in my case, but while I was swapping the battery, the noise, the oscillation pressure from the propellers was just a killer. Honestly, I couldn't get those headphones back over my ears fast enough. If you go to the Travel Commons Instagram page, you can see a bit of video out the window of my Helsinki to Riga flight, complete with a slow-motion propeller. And if you have any travel stories, questions, comments, tips, rants, the voice of the traveler, send them along. Text or audio comment to comments, COMMENTS, at travelcommons.com. You can send in a Twitter message to M. Peacock, post your thoughts on the Travel Commons Facebook page or on the Instagram account at Travel Commons, or, as always, on the website at travelcommons.com. The topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is Notes from the Baltics, Riga, Latvia, and Tallinn, Estonia. At the end of October, right after pushing out the last episode, my son Andrew and I flew east for a week, hopscotching through the Baltics, kind of a day and a half each in Riga, Latvia, Tallinn, Estonia, and Helsinki, Finland. Why the Baltics? I have to tell you, I'm not really sure. I'm sure we had a good rationale for it when we first thought of the trip a few years ago, but now I can't say that our rationale was much more than, hey, here are a few kind of out-of-the-way countries it might be cool to wander around in. So Andrew ended up booking the flights, Finnair from O'Hare to Riga with a connection in Helsinki. The Finnair service was fine, a pretty standard Airbus A330, but with lots of polka dot Marimekko patterns on everything. I guess I had forgotten that they were a Finnish company. I skipped so when we got into Helsinki, we had to go through passport control. I skipped using my UK passport that one last time for that would have taken me a quick pass down the EU passport lane, and decided not to strand Andrew in the everyone else passport path, which led to kind of what I thought was a very unexpected grilling from the Finnish border control cop about the details of my itinerary. He kind of dug like two or three questions deep. And then he spent a good bit of time paging back and forth through my passport stamps. I don't know, I can't think about what he found interesting, the Chinese visa, the two Indian visas. visas. I don't know, maybe the Moroccan stamps from that day trip to Tangiers 3 years ago. I don't know. It was kind of odd. Eventually, he decided to put his Helsinki stamp right next to last August's Krakow stamp and then finally open the gate so I could walk through. We finally got to Riga. I'm not sure what I really expected from the town, but it turned out to be a nice mid-sized city. Maybe it shouldn't have surprised me, but I was surprised at how well preserved the city center is, especially the buildings with the over-the-top Art Nouveau edifices with they've got these huge faces over the doorways and carved figures holding up the windowsills. It was very, very cool. Obviously, that takes some money, though. And down by the river in Old Town, I saw two buildings side by side. One on the right, recently refinished or repainted, looked very, very nice. The one on the left, it was kind of still waiting its turn, but you could tell time was kind of running out. The Art Nouveau look was there. It was kind of muted under the grime and soot and some flaking plaster. Some of the relief decorations on the window balcony had already worn away. I was also surprised at how empty Riga's Old Town was in the middle of a Tuesday when we got there. I mean, the streets were empty. I mean, where was everybody? I don't know, maybe across the river where it looks like they've built new modern office towers. As it turned out, I was glad we didn't book our hotel down in the Old Town. Then we walked down to the Central Market, which is kind of downriver from the Old Town, and it was much more lively, and it's also where Riga stopped looking, quite so Scandi, and started looking a bit more post-Soviet. The buses and streetcars orbiting the market looked left over from the early 90s, but I liked it. I mean, most of the people here seem to be doing their own grocery shopping, unlike food markets in places like Paris and Barcelona that seem to have more people taking pictures of fish than buying them. But the place is so big that I don't see that it could survive just on food porn tourism. They had repurposed a set of World War I Zeppelin hangars, one for a fishmonger, one for the butchers, one for the greengrocers, and then part of one with some restaurants where Andrew and I made lunch from a round loaf of Uzbeki bread and some tortellini-looking dumplings filled with lamb and venison. It was pretty good, both the food and the market. It was kind of cool. After lunch, it was time to go search out some beer tap rooms, which had us walking sort of northeast on a straight line away from the river, away from the Old Town, across the canal and parks, past the embassies that sort of ring Old Town, and back into a less kind of renovated landscape of storefronts and converted factories, some places run down, others with sort of the hipster signaling strands of naked Edison bulbs over wood tables. Wandering into a courtyard off a busy street, we found Labitus, full apologies. I'm going to be botching up and mispronouncing Latvian and Estonian names through most of this. So if you really want the proper spelling, check out the show notes. But Labitus. I actually never heard them pronounce it. But anyhow, that was the tap room, the brewery and the tap room we kind of found in the midst of kind of some semi-decaying buildings in a courtyard with some cars parked on it. They had a very cool, wide, interesting mix of beers, herb beers, fruit beers, as well as the usual batch of IPAs. The names were interesting also. Migla, which they had translated as fog, had hemp and peppermint added to a light pale ale. I'm not sure that it was like the right beer for me. It wasn't one of my top picks on Untappd, but I just got to give them props for trying something different. And speaking of props, it was a 45-minute prop flight from Riga to Tallinn on Air Baltic. I did kind of have, and the Riga airport and the Tallinn airport were very nice sort of mid-sized airports, kind of remind me of Krakow back from August. Really nice, they've had a bit of upgrading done, and they're really nice. Nothing wowsy, it's not Singapore, but just really nice sort of built-for-purpose airports. When I was at the gate in Riga for this Air Baltic flight, I did have a bit of a travel snob realization, though. When everyone is getting on the same bus for a plane, boarding status, it's kind of meaningless. Anyhow, though, Air Baltic actually was fine service. No hassles with carry-on luggage, no annoying onboard upsells, though, like I said, with only a 45-minute flight, I'm not sure that there was a whole lot of damage they could do. Once we landed and got out, heading for the cab rank at Tallinn Airport, I saw kind of the same, some of the same warning signs that we had seen when we arrived at Riga a few days prior, that there are no regulated taxi fees. So you were warned to be careful which taxi you get into. Now, at Riga, we had used one of the airport-approved cabs. It had a meter. The guy was nice. No hassle. Not a problem. At Tallinn, I decided to use the Bolt app, which is a ride-sharing app that I had used earlier in Krakow and had really good luck with it. And when you fire it up, it looks a lot like Lyft. I wonder if Lyft is kind of, you know, selling them, white-labeling their application for them. But anyhow, I used it in Tallinn, and it worked. It worked really well, too. It was just €4 from the airport to Old Town, which seemed like a pretty good deal. I can actually see why Tallinn is popular for long weekends. The Old Town is just that. I mean, it's an old scenic place, winding cobblestone streets, lots of churches and restored old buildings, and then sort of lots of shops in those restored old buildings. It's up on a hill, so there are a lot of scenic overlook Instagram moments. You could easily spend a couple of days wandering the streets, popping in and out of churches and museums and shops and bars. But I have to tell you, after a half a day of wandering around and going up and seeing the Parliament building and the castle and the Russian Orthodox Church, doing all the kind of the sights, I was ready to breach the Old Town walls to see what else there was to Tallinn. Now, our first stop was a market, yet another market, and it was by the train station, Baltic Jama Turg. Again, bad Estonian pronunciation, but it's basically Baltic train station. Now, that market was nowhere near the size of Riga's Central Market. I don't know, but we strolled around until sort of after the fourth or fifth fruit stand or butcher shop, our minds began to wander to lunch. We bought a couple of different kinds of Uzbeki bread from one stand and a couple of beers from the other. The breads were stuffed with some sliced meat, maybe a beef, maybe a lamb, cooked in some warming sort of floral spice. I don't know, cardamom, cinnamon, something like that. It was really very good. Though I never, through the week we were there, I never got the story of why all the Uzbeki food in the Baltics. If someone knows, let me know. Anyhow, we walked out of the train station and sort of around back and ended up wandering through this collection of restaurants that had been built into these small square buildings, some old cargo containers, and then one in a couple of rail cars. As much as I had liked the Uzbeki stuffed breads, I really wished I had seen these places first. Now, on the other side of this little collection of restaurants was something called Teleskivi Creative City. It looked like an old office or administrative building that had been converted to, I don't know, some kind of a hipster's maker mall where people were doing small-scale clothing and leather work in the back of their space and then selling it out of the front. We took a quick pass through it. It was very cool, but, you know, didn't see anything that was really sort of worth our while to haul back to the U.S. Coming out of there, we kind of walked again sort of north-northeast through the Kalamaja neighborhood down toward the harbor, down toward the Baltic. Kalamaja was kind of the exact opposite of the Old Town. Wood buildings versus stone, straight paved streets versus windy cobblestones, groups of flats versus sort of castles and government buildings. And a few blocks off the harbor, we hit the Pohjola Brewery and Tap Room. God, but if there's any Estonian listeners here, I'm really sorry that I'm making your ears bleed on this. But anyhow, the Pohjola Brewery, it was in what looked like a very recently renovated stone buildings. Actually, there were workers in the midst of renovating the building next to it. And where Labietis, God, I keep cringing at my own pronunciations, but where Labietis felt in Riga felt very native, sort of, like I said, this funky space kind of tucked away behind some decaying buildings. Pohjola could have been any new tap room in the U.S. Big U-shaped bar, open kitchens, kind of rough steel girders across the top, barbecue on the menu. The beer was very good. And again, another sort of very broad range of beers, well executed across that range. The barbecue, though, maybe a little less successful, but having lived in Memphis and Dallas, I'm a bit of a barbecue snob. The smoked trout dish, though, that they had was great. And by the way, that was one of the things through the food that we had, especially in Tallinn, phenomenal fish. Though, actually, at one restaurant, we did have kind of a smoked elk tartare that was also very good. So we actually had some really nice food in Tallinn. Anyhow, after Pohjola, we ended up walking back towards the old town along a path that ran along the harbor. There were lots of new apartment buildings across the road, 3 to 4 stories tall, with, you know, complete with floor-to-ceiling windows and enclosed balconies facing the harbor. Lots of them were either empty or they were actually looked like they were just being finished, but you could see where folks were moving in. There's not a lot there in that neighborhood, but you could see it coming. We stopped at Uba Ja Hummel beer store. Oh my, I should have made pronunciation notes. So we stopped at this beer store. Again, check out the show notes for actual links. But we stopped at this beer store before heading back through the old town walls. We ended up walking through the front store, which was a beer store, into what was a small tap room in the back, complete with a DJ who was set up with his turntables and microphone kind of between and in and amongst the back coolers. It was kind of very cool. And Andrew and I were just sitting there, and we'd see just locals come walking in at the end of the day. They'd pull a can out of one of the coolers, pay for it at the bar, get a glass, sit down at the table with their friends. Tallinn had that, kind of easygoing vibe. And I have to say, kind of trying to wrap my thoughts up, both Tallinn and Riga have done a really good job of renovating and preserving their old towns. And they both now seem to be trying to expand past that, repurposing older, maybe Soviet area buildings to something a bit hipper, edgier maybe, but certainly less traditional. I have to say, I came away liking Tallinn a bit more than Riga, but maybe it's because they feel a little bit further down that, kind of that hipper transformational path. Okay, that's it. That's the end of Travel Commons podcast number 157. I hope you all enjoyed the show. I hope you decide to stay subscribed. Just sneaking this in at the end of Thanksgiving. I had hoped to get it to you at the beginning of the week so you had something to keep you occupied on your trip to your families or on your trip to Thanksgiving dinner, that kind of always that Wednesday before Thanksgiving traffic jam. But, I hope you can, I hope this helps the return traffic jams. Anyhow, you can check out the show notes for music links and for proper spelling of Latvian and Estonian words that I've butchered in this in the last segment. Again, look in the show notes at travelcommons.com, music links, and then links to the breweries and other things that I was talking about. You can always find us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn. Ask Alexa, Alexa, play Travel Commons podcast, iTunes always, and Spotify. The links along with the RSS feed links for those of you who actually know how to use those sorts of things are on the right-hand side of the Travel Commons website under the heading Subscribe. Right below that in the social media section are links to the Travel Commons Facebook page and Twitter and Instagram feeds. If you've already subscribed, I would love it if you would leave a review on one of the sites. And actually, if you check out the Travel Commons Instagram page, you can click through to the profile and you can see I've kind of grouped together some of the Instagram story from Riga and Tallinn in one of those little highlight circles. So you can click that there. And as always, if you have a story, thought, comment, gripe, the voice of the traveler, send them along. Text your audio file to comments, COMMENTS, at travelcommons.com, to M. Peacock on Twitter. Write them on the Travel Commons page on Facebook or the Travel Commons Instagram site. Post them on the website at travelcommons.com. Thanks to everyone like Mark, who has taken the time to send in emails, tweets, and post comments on the website. And until we talk again, which I will get done before Christmas, until we talk again, safe travels, and thanks for stopping by the Travel Commons. Bye now.